They only went and did it. 20 rounds of the regular season unbeaten, over 1,000 goals scored, made the final four by round 14, set a new goal record for the league, held off Team Bath in the semi-final and then beat Loughborough Lightning in the grand final. Super League champions. It's been emotional. Welcome to the final Thundercast of the 2022 season. Wowzers, what a set of stats that was. Lindsay with you once again, and what a season, hey. Manchester Thunder have looked on form from day one, and I've said it many times in commentary, the strength and depth to this side this year is unreal. So in this episode, we're really going to absorb that champions mentality whilst taking the opportunity to look forward and see just what comes next with franchise director Debbie Hallis. But my main guest couldn't be more perfect to help me do just that. She's a defensive legend who finished second in the league this year for deflections with 99 and fifth in terms of turnovers with 101. With 213 caps to her name, she's played her part in securing all four trophy lifts for Manchester Thunder in the last decade. It is the unstoppable Kerry Armand. Welcome to Thundercast.
Hi.
So good to have you back. Huge smile on your face. Massive, massive congratulations to you. Super League winner for the fourth time. How does that feel?
Unbelievable, to be honest. I mean, we knew that that's what we were aiming for this season, but to actually go out there and do it, and to do it how we did it, unbeaten completely, was just phenomenal. Couldn't have asked for a better team and a better end to this season. I mean, it's not bad for someone that 2 years ago wasn't playing netball.
It's absolutely incredible. I think your story throughout your career at Thunder is quite amazing. But that moment this time, when you realised that you'd done it, what goes through your head? Is it relief? Is it joy? Is it exhaustion?
It's a bit of all of it, to be honest. Although saying that, I think I probably thought with about 5 minutes to go in that last quarter, I was like, they're going to have to go some to get this back now. So I kind of knew that we'd done it at that point. And every time they scored a goal, I just rolled the ball back to Caroline as slowly as possible to eat the time up. But then when that final whistle went, to be honest, initially it's just complete and utter joy. I just remember running over to Millie Roscoe and Laura and just jumping around and hugging them and screaming. And then, you know, it was just utter chaos, those final scenes. But yeah, complete joy initially. It's not until you get to the changing room when a little bit of relief that it's done and we've done our jobs and we've got there. That's when that sort of kicks in. And then exhaustion's like the next day or the day after that when you've got your hangover.
Yeah, totally. When you've done the bit on the bus, which is, I think is actually the most tiring part from the sounds of things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You don't sit still. You don't stop chanting. You don't stop singing. That bus is carnage is probably the word that I would use. To be fair, it's always carnage on that last game, whether, you know, what game we've been in, it doesn't matter. It's always absolute chaos. But this year was something special, I think.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And we'll come to that. But let's talk about the journey this time, because it really felt like a build week on week. And as I mentioned in commentary, we talked about all that all the time and how do you actually stop Manchester Thunder was one of our questions. So on the flip side, my question to you is, were there any low points? Because it didn't feel from the outside like there were.
I think individual low points and team low points are very different. I think there were a couple of games where we came out of them and we were disappointed with how we played. I think Celtic Dragons away was one where, even though we won the game by 8 or 9, we came out of that and everyone was really disappointed with how we'd performed. And I think that was one of those games where we were like, this is a bit of a kick up the backside. But that one was tough. I think that was probably, for me, was one of the worst ones. But it's a long trip down there, so you're never gonna feel completely wonderful after that one. I mean, Pulse Away was a tough one, but I'd sat on, well, those girls that got on the bus first, we'd been sat in the coach for like 6 hours with one stop. So we were extremely late in getting there due to traffic. And that definitely showed in the performance. But, you know, we rocked up in the last 15 minutes, so it wasn't all bad in the end. But certainly more high points than there were low points through the season, for sure.
Go on then, give me your highest high.
The final whistle at the end of the grand final.
The bus. Okay, the high point in regular season.
Oh, the high point in the regular season. Oh, that's a really tough one. I think. Oh wow! I mean, there's 20 games to pick from. Which one do I pick? Let's go for Wasps away, because 88 goals in a game, unheard of, new record in the Super League. I mean, new record in any of the top leagues in the world. I think they haven't even got that far in Suncop and they've got Super Shot. So that was a pretty epic game. I mean, they obviously scored quite a lot, but when you're scoring that many goals yourself, there's going to be an awful lot of centre passes. So yeah, that one, because I just remember every time the ball came down, I remember like, right, we need a turnover or they need to score really quickly because we want this record and we're trying to go for 90, but it just didn't come off. But we'll go with that one, then. Wasps away.
The numbers were absolutely astonishing, and I did the maths on it because I thought I need to be ready for this when it hits 80. And by the time you get into 88, you are scoring a goal at least every 45 seconds. And bear in mind, there is a centre pass for the other team in that time. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I want you to think about those four victories that you've had in the Super League, because along with Malks and Ellie Cardwell and Karen Gregg, you've all lifted that trophy four times. Which one is the sweetest?
Oh, that's really hard. I mean, I could talk you through all four of them. The first one was rough because obviously I got injured partway through the second quarter, and Eleanor was a defender at that point, and she came on and did an absolute phenomenal job, and she was about, I don't know, 17, 18 years old and just absolutely nailed it. I mean, 2019 was pretty special, to come back from, what was it, 5 or 6 down in the last quarter and just absolutely turn it around and nail it. So that was, and that at that point was my last game. So that was one of those really, really good ones. But I think I have got to go with this one just because of everything that's led up to it. You know, we had some challenges through the season with injuries, Shireen obviously not being available for the first part of the season, and then various players out with COVID, and then Shireen out again, and then, you know, players switching positions just before the season started. So and everyone's played a massive part in it, and the team's just been phenomenal this year. So yeah, we'll say this one.
I think your partnership with Shireen is something that everyone has really enjoyed watching as well. Can we expect more of that next year? Is there anything you'd like to say in that area?
Well, I think I already outed myself on Instagram the night of the grand final. So, yeah, I don't know whether I'm allowed to say, but yeah, no, me and Shireen had a brief conversation after the grand final. And I was like, well, if you sign, I'll sign. And then it went, and then I stupidly put it on my Instagram story. So, and Debbie screenshotted it.
There you go. So we'll leave it there.
There's no way I could go back on that one. So, yeah.
Debbie Hallis will be joining us later on the pod to talk everything transfer window. So, hey, Debbie, we're just talking about this once again. And what was it like to work with Millie Sanders? Because you've got the young guns coming through as well.
Oh, do you know what? They've all been brilliant this year. I mean, Millie Sanders has been around the squad for a couple of years now. I think her first season as a training partner was that 2020 season that got cut short. And then she came in last season as a training partner and, you know, she got a little bit of court time. Came in this season as one of the initial 12 and did some really, really good stuff. I mean, that the second game that we played against Stars on the opening weekend, she was phenomenal. And then, you know, grand final, that first half, she was absolutely everywhere. You know, she's one of those players that really listens to you, really takes on board what you're saying. She asks a lot of questions. And, you know, she listens and she really does try and apply herself to that. I mean, she's done really, really well considering that as a junior player, she's never really played goal defence. She is a keeper and she's learning goal defence as she goes along, and she's doing a great job. And she's got into England Futures this year, so she's done a brilliant job. And then, you know, Millie Roscoe, you know, her first training session as a defender was our New Year session on December 30th. And then she's gone out there and she's started games and she's just done phenomenally well. To go the opposite way to Eleanor and go from being a shooter to a defender, I think she's done incredibly well and she should be really proud of her season. And then Yomi, I mean, Yomi has got all the talent, all the hallmarks of, you know, she kind of reminds me of a little bit of a young Sonia McCloma, that she's just so tall and lanky and her arms are just massive. And she's got a big future ahead of her. Obviously, she can keep herself nice and strong and fit. She had a bit of a knee injury towards the end of the season, but, you know, she's getting herself fit and she's got a big future ahead of her. So these young defenders finally are coming through, and at some point I will be allowed to stop playing.
Yeah, but it's not yet. And actually, I did want to mention that about that goalkeeper bit, because you've played your full Super League career with Thunder, but you've always been really encouraging towards those younger players. And I think they are fighting for that bib that you have owned for such a long time. Where do you see yourself in that mix? Because when we look, we're like, she's starting. But is there a bit of competitiveness there as well?
I mean, there always is. I mean, In a team environment, if there's not competition for places, then what's the point? And that's the only way you get better. These youngsters, you know, they've pushed myself and Shadeen all season, and you know, even at my age, they're pushing me to get better and do better. And I think I don't tend to focus too much on my individual stats, but I had a quick look this season and my stats this season to last season are far, far, far better than they were last season. I'm probably outside, I had a full pre-season this year. But that's part of having those young players that are there to push you and knowing that, you know, if I'm not doing my job, then they can come on and do a job. Which is something that Ellie McCormick did last season when, you know, when Emma was out injured, or, you know, when I wasn't having a good game, she would come on and do a brilliant job. And, you know, part of my role in this team now is that experience and passing that experience on to these young kids. They're not kids, but these youngsters, and helping them improve. And in the same breath, them improving helps me to improve. So it's a bit of give and take. And they certainly do kind of push me and make me want to be better, which then helps them. So I'm still having that bib though. It's still mine. They're going to have to wrestle it out of my cold dead hands, but you know.
There we go. That's the Kerry Armand that we know. And the lineup has changed week in, week out this season. You know, and I've spoken about it again, flexibility, the guts to put different players on, including younger players at really difficult times, has paid off. What do you think made the difference for Thunder this season?
I think the blend in the squad. You know, I think everyone talks about other teams having really, really young teams, but five of our 12, we're under the age of 20, we're 22 or under, and everyone's kind of seems to have forgotten that, yes, we've got a lot of older experienced players, but we also have a lot of youth coming through. But those players that we've got have done a really, really good job, and they are all Thunder through and through. They've all come through the pathway, which helps, because that means that then when they come in, they know the setups and they just hit the ground running. I mean, in pre-season, there were times in pre-season when it was me, and then the next oldest was Lois Pearson at 22. But they just got on with the job, did what they needed to do. And then when Laura, Elle and Nat came back in, and obviously Joyce and then Shadeen, and when Caroline was in with us, they just knew what they were doing. And they were never afraid to push anyone. They were never afraid to just get stuck in. And they just did that. I mean, Yomi, when she first came to us, she was 17. But she had no qualms about just getting stuck in and asking questions of others by what she was doing out on the court. And that's what we breed in the pathway. We breed these players that they're absolutely fearless, and they just get out there, do what they need to do, and just absolutely crush it week in, week out.
And we can't wait to see more of them next year. I think something that Thunder haven't achieved so far, and you've achieved a huge amount, is the back-to-back title. Can this team, which is going to change, we know it's going to change, and we'll hear more about that from Debbie Hallis, I'm sure, but can they build on this year into next year and go for that back-to-back?
I absolutely don't see why we can't. I mean, we should have Ellie McCormick and Amy Carter coming back from injury as well. So, you know, they're two that can shore up that. And losing Laura obviously is a big blow, but Amy's coming back. So, you know, we've got a player in there already that knows what they're doing. You know, she's a cracking player, and it's just all about how she comes back from her injury. But I don't see why not. obviously it depends on who we get to replace Joyce in that circle. But I think, you know, we've got all the weapons that we need. And again, these teams are going to have to push us and push us and push us to take that title from us. But I'm going to go with yes.
Okay, a strong yes there. And you're right, Laura Malcolm is moving on. Joyce Mvula going overseas as well. So it is change at Manchester Thunder. Karen Gregg was inducted into the Hall of Fame at the end of season awards. But we have also seen a lot of change in the Super League with five head coaches moving on. So Rhinos, Wasps, Mavericks, Team Bath and Stars. There's a lot going on for next season. What do you think Karen's challenges will be?
I don't know. I mean, the big challenge for Karen every year is to make sure she's got the team she wants. So she tells Debbie who she wants, and it's up to Debbie to go and get them. That's the big challenge, I think. And also it's trying to get us ready for what these other teams are going to be doing. Because obviously at the moment, we've got no idea what these teams are going to look like. Obviously, you know, departure and things, but you don't know who's going to be replacing them. So it's like, who are Stars going to be getting to replace Kat and Liana? You know, there's a couple of players from Rhinos that have got, obviously Amelia's going off traveling for a year, Sienna Rushton's going off to, I don't know, somewhere in South America. So who are they going to get to replace Amelia? I mean, Amelia was fantastic this year. So they've got to find someone to replace her. And then it's seeing what these other teams do to shore up their teams. Like, what's Tamsin and Camilla going to be doing at Mavericks? So it's all those little things. And what are Bath going to look like next year when, you know, they haven't got Kim and they haven't got Rachel? So it's about Karen preparing us for what other teams are going to throw at us without knowing what those teams are going to look like. So that's a tough job as a head coach, and I'm glad she's doing it and not me.
Well, it's such insight. Let's finish with you on a personal level, though. How did you feel your game has developed, in particular working with Tracy Neville in terms of a defensive coach?
You know, she's one of the hardest taskmasters. I mean, she's brilliant. I mean, everyone knows that she's fantastic as an attacking coach. I mean, she was a fantastic player as well. Last season when I came in, I was like, oh, Tracy, the defensive coach. Oh, no. But she wants to learn as much as we do. And she's always got these great new ideas, and she's brought some new things into my game this season, which has been fantastic, things that I've never done before, never even thought of to do. And she's just really all about developing the players. And if she can continue doing that, no matter how old these players are, then, you know, she's happy enough, and, you know, she loves to do that. And it's been a real pleasure working with her, actually, because you get a rollicking when you need one. But then when you've done something good, she tells you. And there's not many coaches that are fairly comfortable doing both. I mean, there's been games where it's just been like, Kerry, what are you doing? And then in the next breath, it's like, oh, that was actually pretty good. So she's comfortable doing both. And yeah, she's been really good as a defensive coach, I think, and really well backed up by Gabs Towell as well, as our sort of second defensive coach as well. And she's really nice to have the both of them to bounce the ideas off. And, you know, Tracy's not one of those coaches that will only focus on what you consider to be your starting defenders. It's all about, well, you need to rotate, guys. Just rotate yourselves through. You do you. But I want everyone to make sure they're out there doing this. And she wanted the training partners to be as much involved as, you know, myself, Shadeen and Millie Sanders. It was like, Yomi, get yourself out there. Millie Roscoe, make sure you get yourself in there. So she's really pushing that from that side of things as well, that it's not just about two or three people in a unit. It's about everybody, because you've got to be able to make changes. So it's been really good fun working with her, actually, again. Obviously, because last time we worked together was in 2015, before she left to go off and be an England coach. So it's been interesting to see how her game has developed as well. And it's been brilliant. I've really, really enjoyed it, but don't tell her that.
No, she'll never find that out. And what about Karen? If you had a note to Karen, what would you say after this season?
Thank you. I mean, she put her trust in me last season when I hadn't played netball for I don't even know how long. You know, she really backed me in last season and did everything she could to help me sort of transition through the quickest 3-week preseason I have ever had in my life. And then, you know, to put the trust in me that she put in this year, you know, to bring me back into that leadership group and really help with the youngsters has been fantastic. And, you know, the amount of trust that she puts in the players has been fantastic. And it's been fun over the years to go from being a player alongside Karen and then through her journey as assistant coach and into head coach as well. So, yeah, just thanks to Karen, because she's as much fun off the court as she is on the court. I mean, she gets stuck into some of our Wednesday morning sessions, and it's really funny. And it's like marking her again all those years ago. And it's, yeah, she's fun to work with, and I really enjoy the past couple of years.
She posted an amazing picture of 10 years ago when she was in that squad lifting that trophy, and your little face is in there as well. It's just amazing. And quite a few, actually, of the players that we recognise now. If you had one goal for 23, what would it be?
To win the Super League again.
Okay, personal goal. She's taking it on, ladies and gents. She's going to be winning that Super League single-handed.
I hope so.
No. Okay, with the rest of the team, we'll allow you that. Well, look, someone that may be able to shed a little bit more light on the 2023 season is Manchester Thunder Managing Director Debbie Hallas, who's actually on holiday in France at the moment, trying to get a break. But don't worry, people. I tracked her down. I interrupted her holiday. And let's hear from her now.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. I hear France are actually recruiting their first national netball team at the moment. Is that what you're up to over there?
Couldn't possibly say.
Well, look, thank you so much for doing this on your holiday, and congratulations on just a massive season. Surely one of the very best at the club.
Oh, definitely. You know, obviously we'd been kind of building a squad. We won in 2019. Obviously, 2020 didn't quite go to plan. 21, you know, we had a little bit of change-ups. And then, obviously, as we built towards 22, it took a long time. I mean, the whole recruitment picture and that transfer window or player signing window, it's so long. But the pieces just kind of fell into place. We got, obviously, re-signed who we wanted to. We unfortunately had a couple of injuries in the build-up, which wasn't great. But then the last two signings that we had were pretty amazing. Obviously, we signed Nat Hathorn, the way she was then, Nat McCaff, and Shadeen van der Merwe, which was a real kind of last-minute signing. So yeah, once we got those two, you know, and such kind of amazing and big personalities, or big kind of netball players, you know, as past that squad, we're like, wow, this is going to be an exciting season. And even though you can't take anything for granted and there's still a long way to go, you know, once that group kind of evolved, you could see how, I think it's probably the best group of players we've ever had, just the whole dynamics of it. There's youth, there's experience, and they just gelled so well. And there was nobody in there that was impacting in a negative way. It was just very refreshing, to be honest. You know, and they absolutely, you know, every one of them and all the staff for everything they put in absolutely deserved it.
We're going to keep motoring onwards and think about the next season. How much of a break do you actually get? And when does it start ramping up again from finishing at the beginning of June?
The day after.
Seriously?
So literally, well, you can talk to your players and sign your players ahead, or like during, you know, ahead of the grand final. But the player signing window, recruitment for us starts literally the day after grand final. So, you know, we obviously had significant celebrations. So to wake up on the Monday morning and have to start recruitment was like, oh, it was a bit mind blowing. But we'd obviously, it's myself, Karen Gregg and Tracy Neville that kind of work on the whole recruitment piece, and kind of David, my co-owner, as well as working with me on it, because there's just so much. And the whole kind of picture is changing, because some you're still simply dealing with the players, some you're dealing with agents, and there's a whole bigger picture to deal with. And the whole contracting process is, whilst you think it's simple, it's not always that simple. And it's pulling together how you're working everything into the salary cap and also your own budget. Yeah, the two key things.
So these are brilliant points and really big points. I just want to draw out, because unless you're right in the centre of that netball world, which obviously you are, all this stuff is sort of unknown to the fans. So is there a salary cap for the Super League?
Yes. So you have a squad of 12 players and obviously three training partners. The squad of 12, you're allowed two marquee players. So those two players, which tend to be, for most people, your imports or your internationals, you can pay them whatever you want. So if you wanted to pay someone £1 million, I mean, obviously not realistic, but you can do. And then the other 10 players sit under the salary cap, and that they can come to a total of no more than £90,000. And there's obviously a salary collar, which you've got to be above that, but below the salary cap. So that stands at 65,000.
And that is the same across all franchises?
Yeah. So everybody's got to adhere to those rules.
And you've said already that you deal with some agents, but some players are looking after themselves. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's a variety of type of agents, and some not always in this country. So it's learning to deal with those and the way that they work, and some work differently than others. Some have a lot of integrity. Some are just another level. It's quite a learning curve, as I say. You know, when it's you're first starting to deal with people along those lines, and for several reasons, you know, you can be negotiating against the clubs. Obviously, some people have financial asks. Some like a whole package. So it's building that picture for each player. And also what complicates it for this season is that we can only contract for 1 year. So for 2023, we can only contract for this season. We can't contract beyond that.
Why is that happening?
There's a bit of there's a project going on in the background to hopefully professionalise the league. And I can't really say any more than that. But there potentially will be significant changes. So that's why we can only contract for 1 year.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
It does.
That's been the chat, hasn't it? That's been the chat on Twitter as well. And there has been an awful lot about this, because change is coming to Manchester Thunder. Laura Malcolm announced that she's moving to New Zealand to play for Tactics. And Joyce Mvula is going overseas as well to play for Pulse, who won the ANZ Premiership this year. And although that is brilliant, and Manchester Thunder have created this space where you're excelling with your players and then they do go abroad, how do you retain players in the UK after a fantastic season when you've got those caps and things?
Yeah, well, again, this is the whole part of a challenging piece to pull together. When you're successful the way that we have been this season, you're always going to get people coming looking at your players and, you know, and wanting to obviously sign them themselves. And there's many different reasons that players will go. You look at the opportunities that Joyce and Laura have had. You know, we can only wish them all the best. They've, you know, they're striving to be better all the time. And you know, as far as personal achievements go, you know, to play in a different country, to play in a different style. Obviously, sometimes there's more money around. I'm not saying that they've gone particularly for that, but when you look at the whole picture and the whole package that they're going to get, you know, living a chance to live in New Zealand for, 6 to 8 months or however long it is, you know, it's just an amazing opportunity. You know, different coaching styles, different coaches, different environments. And, you know, someone like Laura has been at Manchester Thunder a long time, and it's something great for her to experience in her netballing career. You know, and same for Joyce. Joyce has been with us a long time. You know, and now it's time for her to kind of move and evolve again.
But no doubt you do. You have the pulling power, because you got Shazeen van der Merwe to come. You got Natalie Metcalf to come. So what were your tactics there?
Couldn't possibly say. I mean, I think we have a good reputation across netball in the way that we look after players, the way that we treat them. You know, we might not necessarily have loads of money to throw around, but we do. I think what we do well. You know, everyone talks about us as a family. You know, and we're successful. We're the only team to have made playoffs in the last 13 seasons consecutively. So you know, if you come to Manchester Thunder, you're going to be in finals. You're going to, or you know, going to be in the playoffs. So it's, you know, it's highly likely. You know, we're always striving for success. I mean, look at the coaching team we've got in place at the moment. Who wouldn't want to be coached by, you know, two of the best people in the country, if not the world?
It's absolutely true. I think, you know, and we're going to talk a bit more on the pod about the coaching staff as well and that pulling power. But something that Fiona asked on social media was that a couple of your players, so Joyce and Laura, were both talking about moving from the club before the end of the SSN season, before the end of the AMZ season. So how do players do that? And when are you allowed to start saying, we've been having these conversations, we've been having these chats?
Yeah, well, I think we were, you know, we appreciate actually that we knew ahead of finals that that they were going, they were honest and upfront with us. And that enabled us to then react. So we knew we were losing them. So we could then plan accordingly. So as soon as the window opens, you can go and approach the kind of, you know, the players that you want and need to. I think a frustration of our league is that we can't actually announce players until registration starts in August. So it's the 8th of August, I think, day after Commonwealth Games final, isn't it? But like, word gets round. You know, people talk, we're women, you know, and I know plenty of men gossips out there as well. But but yeah, word does get out and everybody knows. And it's a bit like, oh, well, yeah, we know when it comes out. And yeah, maybe for the majority of fans that they don't. But, you know, there's plenty of rumours and I'm loving all the different things across social media now, you know, like Netball After Dark and there's Netball Chaos. There's all different kind of, you know, chat rooms and people. And it's great that people are talking about it and everybody's got opinions and it's great listening to them. And it's funny sometimes, you know, listening to rumours when you think, oh, no, there's no, you know, definitely not talking to that player that they're talking about. And then actually thinking, well, actually, they're right on, they're spot on. We are talking to them, but we can't say.
I remember trying to get this sort of stuff out of you this time last year. And you just played your poker face with me the whole time. But that's fascinating. So the window actually opens immediately after the Super League finishes. You might have been having those conversations already, but you can't start registering people until the middle of August.
That's right.
And when does that run until?
Until October. I'm not sure of the exact date, but pretty much 2 months so for registration. So you've got all of that time to sign players, but obviously the majority of the work goes on or has already gone on. Or something else that comes into it as well is the signing windows for the clubs. I mean, I love it how the New Zealand League are they've just announced the squads. Everybody knows where they're at. There's no more gossip. You know, everybody knows, and that's great. And similarly with Suncorp, that's happening now. I mean, I know a lot of teams are still in negotiations with players, but Giants have re-signed the whole squad. You know, it's out there. Everybody knows. Everybody can plan. Everybody can get excited or not.
does that match up with your signing window, though? Because if everybody's doing it at slightly different times, you've really got to get in quick and have those conversations.
Yeah, well, this is it. And this is probably where, you know, the nations or even world netball perhaps need to have those discussions and align the seasons, because it's so difficult for clubs and for players, and quite often, you know, some players can miss out.
And you know what question I'm going to ask you now? Who are you looking for next season, and is there anything you can tell me at this stage on the pod?
Obviously I can't tell you any names. There's going to be significant changes across the board, but it's exciting. You know, it's the next phase for us. You know, all good things come to an end and, you know, players are moving on. But, you know, it's exciting who, you know, who we're bringing on board, who we're kind of close to signing at the moment. Obviously, I can't say who, but...
Little description? Look at your face.
I'm trying to think of a subtle hint that won't really give it away, but it'll excite people, but I can't.
Do you know what? I'm going to leave it with you because we will wait with bated breath to see what happens there. The insight that you give us is always amazing. Thank you so much for joining us on the pod and for sharing those details with us. And it's also good to know that as soon as the season has finished, you start again. So I am going to let you have a bit of your holiday. Hopefully you're going out to eat a baguette or something now. No idea. But go and enjoy the sunshine. And thank you for talking to me. And we will see you for the new season in 2023.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Very interesting indeed to hear from Debbie and to give you a little window into the world of transfers and teams and just how it all works. Excited to see what happens in 2023. It is, though, time for the final whistle of this season of Thundercast. And we've appreciated what an incredible season it has been. We're looking forward to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, though, as England step out to defend that historic gold medal from 4 years ago. And this is the final whistle this time. We've got three Thunder players who've made the roses, Ellie Cardwell, Laura Malcolm, and Natalie Metcalf, who is also the new England captain for the Games. I know you'll want to congratulate them, Kerry. You know, all the love is in at the moment, but frankly, it's the last episode. So what I actually want is the dirt on these three players, okay? So what don't we know from training about Ellie Cardwell, Laura Malcolm, and Natalie Metcalf?
What don't we know? I think everything about the game everyone knows. Let's go with Laura doesn't like hugs.
Okay.
She will give them grudgingly, to be fair. I've had a few hugs off Laura recently. Laura and I, at the end of season two, we cleared the dance floor because we asked for a specific song and everyone was just like, what is this song? We asked for Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas because we both watch Supernatural. We both absolutely love it. So that's one thing we don't know about Laura, is that Laura is a huge Supernatural fan. Nice. Elle prefers to be called Eleanor nowadays, which was a bit of a new one for me last season. But so Eleanor, and she's got, I feel like she's got really small hands. So how she, that's why she has to do that funny claw thing. Natalie, I mean, Nat is literally the nicest person. I feel like, I mean, there's got to be some skeletons in her closet somewhere, but I think you're going to have to dig and dig and dig for those because she's the nicest person I think I've ever known. So I'm not really sure what I can say about Nat, but I just think she's going to be an absolutely phenomenal captain for England. And I think she'll lead them to glory. Well, she better do anyway.
Do you have one little message for the England team before they step out?
Just absolutely massive good luck. I mean, you don't get the chance that often to play for your country in a Commonwealth Games in your country. So just huge good luck to all 12 of those players that are selected. And just know that we're all going to be there supporting, whether it's on TV or whether it's actually in the crowd. And hopefully Debbie will give you all the tickets. But no, massive good luck to them all. And, you know, especially those three. I couldn't be happier or prouder for all three of them. Especially Laura, with how hard she's worked to get back there and doing it in her neck of the woods as well. But, you know, huge good luck to all three of them. We're so proud of you at Thunder. And, you know, no matter where they end up, we're just so proud of them and can't wait to watch them absolutely smash it. Oh. But I should also say, you know, Shanine and Joyce and Caroline are playing as well. So I don't really know who's supporting. I'm going to support England, Anna, really. But obviously, Shanine, Joyce and Caroline as well. So huge good luck to those three. Can't wait to watch them all playing against each other, to be honest. It's going to be really fun.
And that's what we really want, isn't it? We want to see what it's like when they have to play against each other. That's brilliant. Exactly. That you've shouted out all the international players for Thunder, because the lineup was incredible. And you will be able to see all those players as part of the Commonwealth Games. Absolute best of luck to them. Although we probably are England fans, if we're honest. So we'll be cheering those roses as they go. Kerry, I don't know whether you remember, I'm sure that you do, but you were our very first guest on the very first Thundercast that we did.
I was.
And here we are, a couple of years later, once again, you're a Super League champion. So thank you so much for coming back and chatting to us on the pod. It's always a joy to talk to you, Kerry. And, you know, thank you to Thunder for a sensational season, because you've really taken us with you. A massive shout out to all the volunteers, to the backroom staff, to the coaches, the physios, the officials and the umpires. The list goes on and on and on, that make Manchester Thunder and the league just what it is. Netball would not be the growing sport that it is without you. And of course, it's a final thank you to the fans, which, Kerry, you have talked about consistently on this podcast and through the season. And let's be honest, there are no fans like the Thunder fans.
Absolutely not. I mean, that grand final, I've got no idea what they were shouting, but all I know is that I could hear them and they were making more noise than the rest of that stadium combined. So absolutely brilliant. You know, we love playing in front of the fans. They make that atmosphere incredible. I mean, the last few games that we had at home were just, you know, they were absolutely phenomenal. The Pride game, the the international game and then the semi-final, they were phenomenal. They did what we asked of them at the start of the season. They showed up, and they showed up consistently, and they showed up yelling at the top of their lungs consistently, and we couldn't do it without them. And it just makes playing the game so much more fun when they're enjoying themselves, and it's an absolute pleasure and an honour to play in front of those Thunder fans, because they're just phenomenal. Every team says it about their fans being the best in the league, but there is no fan like a Thunder fan.
There you go, you heard it here first. Thank you so much for supporting week in, week out, coming to the games, watching on Sky and listening to this podcast. We've said it all the way through. There are no fans, as Kerry says, like the Thunder fans. We hope that you have a fabulous summer, and we can't wait to see you for the big squad announcements in the autumn. For now, though, that is it for Thundercast for this season. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll see you next time. Let's go, Thunder. Let's go.